are no longer slaves to sin. That is the beautiful outflow of the gospel. Hey, thanks for joining us here at the church at Suncoast. Take your Bibles and let's get into God's Word. Matthew chapter 13. I went to the zoo last week. If you haven't been to the zoo recently, you need to go. They've done a great job in redoing the zoo, especially the gorilla monkey area running around all over top of you. I didn't go alone. I don't frequent visiting the zoo alone, but I went with my daughter and granddaughter. And it was kind of fun to wheel around with those two. Of all the animals there, Addie, who was 2 years old, was most fascinated by the moon. And of all the animals, she just kept looking at the moon and talking by them. But we walked by the tiger exhibit, which was Whitney's favorite exhibit. And by the way, the animals all cooperated. Sometimes you go to the zoo and they don't cooperate. But all the animals were out, and they were active, and the lions roared, and the elephants were where they should be, and the monkey, the gorilla, was chewing on the lettuce, and you could hear him crunching on the lettuce. We walked past the tiger exhibit, which was Whitney's favorite, and he was kind of laying there. Tiger exhibit. He was a young tiger because they'd given him a cardboard box to chew apart. I thought of Cooper, the need to chew. And so he was tearing that cardboard box apart, and Addie had gotten out of her little stroller, and she ran past the cage. And when she ran past the cage, the tiger looked up from the cardboard like this. Yeah, with riveting eyes, like, is that lunch running by? And Whitney and I were like, cool, look at that. So Whitney, being the type of mother she is, she yelled out, Addie, run past the cage again. You do that with a third child. The first child, you run and grab on and say, you know, don't, you give that tiger a dirty look. The third child, you're like, run past again. I want to see those eyes. Riveting eyes, because within a tiger, Addie was bite size and just about the right size to eat. That's within a tiger, passion within a tiger. Later on, we were keeping Addie again, and we were watching Disney's Frozen, I guess in preparation for her going the next day to Frozen 2 with her family. I don't know why we were doing it. I know, we got Disney Plus. And so in order to get my $70 a year worth, I'm watching with the grandkids. So we were watching Frozen with her. And I looked over at our Jack Russell Cooper, and he wasn't watching Frozen, didn't fascinate him. He was watching Addie. And eyes speak a lot, don't they? And I could see within Cooper a love and an adoration for our granddaughter, and also protective eyes. Now, Addie was riveted on Frozen, on that cold girl, that frozen girl who, you know, what's Elsa? Is that her name? Whatever her name is. Because that's what's in Addie. What's in Cooper is, I love that little girl, and I'm going to take care of her. A couple days before, we were out in the front yard, and again, I know it sounds like I keep Addie all the time. I just got a lot of Addie stories this morning. You're just going to have to tolerate them this morning. She was playing in the front yard, and Cooper was around the side. I couldn't see where he was at. And I let Addie walk out our driveway, and I'll let her get right to the end by the road as a cul-de-sac. It's safe, you know, before I'll call to her. And she walked that long driveway, and she got about 5 feet from the end of that driveway, and out from the side of the house barreled Cooper at full sprint and ran to the edge of that road and got between her and that road. Because that's what's inside a dog, see? So what's inside a tiger is lunch. What's inside a little girl is a frozen girl. What's inside a dog is love and protection. But what's inside of us? The Bible speaks of there's nothing within us that seeks after God. There's nothing within us that looks for Him. There's nothing within us that reaches out to God. You hear people, sometimes we say, I just want to seek after God. The Bible paints a different picture than that. I want to talk about thankfulness for the greatest thing that we have, something we didn't seek for, but that God sought us for. Because we don't seek after him, he sought after us. What we know and what we have in the spiritual realm isn't something any of us went after. In fact, we were running the other way. I want you to look at Matthew chapter 13, verse 1. You know, some people say that thankfulness, that gratitude, if you will, is an attitude. I think gratitude is a realization of truth. Look at chapter 13, verse 1. That same day, Jesus went out of the house and sat beside the sea. I just love these pictures of Jesus as he strolls by the sea, and he sat down, and great crowds gathered about him, so that he got into a boat and sat down. So you catch the picture. He's sitting peacefully by the sea. The crowds show up. Obviously, it's time to teach and minister to the crowds, so he gets into a boat. You can't stand in a boat. You'll fall over. So he sits down. It goes on, the whole crowd stood on the beach. Now, there's a very practical reason why they stood on the beach. If you've ever seen a beach along the Sea of Galilee, it's rocks. It's rocks the size you could pick up with your hand. There's no comfortable place. There's no sand on this beach. So you stand on the beach. Notice verse 3, and he told them many things in parables. He told stories. Let that sink in. We're not going to look any of the parables or stories this morning. Look down at verse 10. We will at a later date. Then the disciples came and said to him, "Why do you speak to them in parables? Why are you telling so many stories to them?" Why, implied in the question is, why is it your teaching more direct and clear? You're not getting to the point. They're walking away scratching their heads. They're not sure of what you're saying. You're not filling in the blanks for them well enough. You've got a crowd. We want to keep the crowd. We want to raise your popularity. You're not interesting enough. If you're not clear enough. Let's just say that. This is what how he replies in verse 11. And he answered them, "To you, disciples, to you it has been given." Mark that. "To you it has been given to know the secrets," the King James is, "the mysteries of the kingdom of heaven, but to them it has not been given." Wow. To you men who are following me, don't miss that. You men aren't, by your intellect, aren't figuring these things out. You are following me, and I am giving you as a gift secrets and mysteries of the kingdom of heaven. But to those who are not following me, I am not giving them. Now, why wasn't he giving them? Seems unfair. Why tell the stories? Why not get to the point and give them the same mysteries that you're giving the disciples that are around him? Do you want to know? Come back in January. That's when we're going to get back to this. There's a real reason why he's doing this, and it may surprise you. There's a reason he's concealing these things. I'll give you a hint. No, I won't give you a hint. It's in January. We'll get back to this. Notice verse 16. He says to them, "But blessed are your eyes, for they see." Remember the tiger? Remember what he saw. Remember the dog? Remember what he saw. Remember the little girl, what she saw. What they saw was intrinsically in them, okay? What's in you comes out. It's intrinsic. Dogs bark. Cats meow. Snakes bite. You don't teach these things. They're intrinsic in them. There's nothing intrinsic in the heart of man that seeks after the Lord Nothing. The Bible says there is none good, no, not one. There is none that seeks after him. If there's anything in your heart that calls out to the Lord, it's because he first does the work in you. We have nothing to claim credit. But think about it. If you know the gospel, if you know Christ, if you know anything of the mysteries of the kingdom of God, Jesus said, oh, how happy are your eyes. He's not talking about these. He's talking about the eyes of your soul that sees things that this world hasn't got a clue of. All the environmentalist wackos who are running around saving the planet, Jesus is going to come by back in a wave of his hand. He's going to fix all the environment. Do you know that? Now, I'm not all for throwing trash in the ocean. I don't think we ought to do it. Back in the 70s, I think back of, you know, I was a cook in the Navy, and so I would take big trash bags of garbage, and we always cut holes in it, give 50 miles out. We throw that stuff overboard. I don't think they do it anymore. I don't know what they do with the trash out there. I'm not for all that. But we know these things. When he comes back, there will be no politics in the whole world. He's going to fix all this mess when he comes. Don't you long for that day? Man in his heart is essentially evil and sinful. And yet, on the nightly news, mankind is shocked at the shootings and bombings and wars and killings. I say every night at 10 o'clock, I said, Karen, let's tune in at the local news and see who got shot tonight. That's basically what it is. Let's see who got shot tonight. That's not surprising to me. It's sad, it's tragic, but it's not surprising. We understand these things. Because within every man, there is a beast. Within every man, there's a sin nature. We know these things. We know that when Christ died on the cross 2,000 years ago, his blood shed for the forgiveness of our sins, and that when we call on the name of the Lord, we are cleansed and perfectly righteous before our Father. If you know those things, blessed are your eyes. Blessed are your eyes. There are men who are teaching in Harvard and Princeton who are Rhodes Scholars and incredibly intelligent men who are empty child, who are void of this knowledge, ignorant of it. They don't know because it takes the Spirit of God to reveal it. And he reveals it to the childlike heart. Look down at the verse 16. Look down at verse 16. But blessed are your eyes, for they see. And your ears, for they hear. For truly I say to you, many prophets and righteous people. He's talking about the Old Testament. He's talking about those Moses and Abraham and Elijah and Sarah. Many blessed, righteous people long to see what you see. They did not see it. And to hear what you hear, and they did not hear it. Now, I know he's talking locally about seeing Jesus in the flesh, but I think it's amplified 1,000 times in this day and age versus that day and age of the flesh of his being here. Our eyes and ears are more blessed in this day than Abraham's ears and eyes ever were, and Moses and those great righteous men who look forward and long to see what we're looking back at and what we're presently experiencing in the age of grace. Do you know in the Old Testament when the Holy Spirit came upon a man, like he came upon David or Samson or those great men, that the Holy Spirit left that man when the work was done? That's why David cried out, "Take not thy Holy Spirit away from me." Do you know when you get saved, the Holy Spirit seals you and he never leaves you or forsakes you? That the abiding Christ is there no matter what the circumstances of your life is or are at any given moment. In your deepest, darkest moment, he is there in all his fullness. Blessed are our eyes. Blessed are our ears. Every year we made a list. The kids were growing up. When the kids were small, we got around and made a list. I made them make a list every year. I think they've taken that into their families. I think they do that. They talk about it when they come over to eat Thanksgiving. But I made them sit down every year and write down 5 things, maybe it was 10 things, that they were thankful for, and it had to be stuff that happened in the last year. I gave them one free layup. I gave them one, you know, I got saved, you know, that I'm a Christian. But other than that, they had to share 5, 10 things that happened in the previous year. That's their list. And we hardly ever got through the list that Karen, she's a crier. She always, and everybody wanted to see which one on the list would make Karen cry. You know? We don't do that anymore because their families do it, and I don't overrun. I thought Cooper would do a list and have Lorelai read Cooper's list of what he's thankful for, like a new home and that sort of thing. That's good to do. But what I'm sharing with you today is not a list. It's the very core and essence of gratitude and thankfulness, because none of us know Christ because we raised our hand and said, I want to know Christ. He moved toward us before we ever moved toward him. He woke our dead spirits up. And anything that we know, anything spiritually, we know because he has given it to us as a gift. Don't ever forget that. He reveals the mysteries of the kingdom of heaven. We are a rich people, are we not, spiritually? Let's stop and pray. And thank the Lord. And then we'll enter into our communion time. Lord Jesus, who are we that you would pour such blessing upon to know you, to know the truth of the gospel, that we live in a day of grace, that we live in a land where we heard the truth, that we gather together to share in the Lord's Supper of a death that made us come alive. We have no words to say. Our hearts are overfilled with your spirit and just the knowledge of you. You are holy. You are righteous. We are not. And yet you've made us so by the sacrifice of your Son. So we stop corporately as a church to thank you and to bless you for the blessing you've given our eyes and our ears. In Jesus' name. Hey, thanks for joining us today at the Church at Suncoast. We pray that the message was a blessing to you. If we can be of any help, don't hesitate to contact the church on our Facebook page or at suncoastjacks.org. If you are in the listening area, we'd love to have you attend any of our services. We hope you have a great day, and we'll see you next time.